Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. Coming up at noon, we'll have Scott Fransky. Milt Thompson in studio coming up at 1 p.m. I think the Malcolm Hugh debate is a good one. That's hard.
We're going to put a Twitter poll up.
I wonder where that will go. Now, Malcolm's more more recent.
Well, dude, you know how people on Twitter are.
Yeah.
The ring is king.
The ring is king.
And I would agree with that.
I'm going to guess Malcolm wins, but I think it's close.
Yeah, I think Malcolm's a hell of a leader, too. Like, Malcolm was a very vocal leader. He was very vocal.
I think it's going to be a close vote. We'll check in on that one. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to call the Phillies great? Bryce Harper did it after the game last night. And Jalen Hurts came in number 17 among quarterbacks. Pete Prisco's top 100 list at CBS. Fair or not fair? Both you and I think it is fair to have him there. Now, you could gripe with a couple of them, but I think the range is generally fair to where Jalen is and played coming off the last season. All right, before we go back to the phone lines here, Hugh, a couple of trade ideas out there and trade thoughts on the Phillies. Let's react to a couple. First, Ruben Amaro Jr., MLB Network, an idea that I saw it caught some flack, but I think makes a lot of sense for the way postseason baseball goes now. Here's Ruben, MLB Network.
Who is going to hand the baseball to Durant? If you want to win a World Series, over the last couple of years, it was not just the not being able to come up with a base hit. It's really about whether they can shut down the game because they got elite starting pitching. And I got to believe that if I had one move to make, I would consider doing a big bullpen piece. How do you do that? There's a couple of different ways to do it. You can either do it by conventionally going to get an Aroldis Chapman, for instance, or a Garrett Whitlock or someone like that to help them, you know, build that bridge to Duran. But you can also be, you know, you can be a little intelligent, a little sneaky, and you can try to go get a guy like, and Mike talked about this before, go get a stud starter and slide Lizardo into the bullpen with a big, big left-handed arm. Maybe he can be your eighth inning guy.
So, Hugh, Ruben said that on MLB Network. I saw some fans reacting as if it was the craziest idea in the world because they just gave Lizardo a big contract, right? Mm-hmm. And he's a starting pitcher. But it's not crazy at all. In fact, it's a smart idea by Ruben. We kind of threw out a similar sense yesterday when we said the Sandy Alcantara idea, right? If you got him, you'd have three top starters. You'd have, obviously, Wheeler and Sanchez, Sandy. And then in the playoffs, you could use Lizardo because the fourth starter in the playoffs only really has to start once per series, right? Mm-hmm. So the other games, you could use Lizardo out of the bullpen. I like Ruben's idea. Now, I don't think they would put Lizardo in the bullpen in the regular season. But in the postseason, he'd be a weapon out of the bullpen. Last year, we just watched the Dodgers. I think it was it game one here? They used Tyler Glasnow, a $100 million pitcher. In some senses, similar to Lizardo. They use him out of the bullpen. I mean, it's all hands on deck in October.
And see, that's where I think people don't use common sense. Because immediately when he said it, that's what I was thinking. It wasn't like he was talking about the regular season.
Right.
And not only that, you're talking about a situation, if you're thinking about it like this, baseball is not guaranteed past this year. It's not. And you're a team that is getting older. And to be honest, 1 year of not playing baseball makes you 1 year older.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so then you're coming back and you're going to be older and you haven't really replenished the ranks with the farm system. So it makes sense if you're looking at it like this, you're all hands on deck. You don't have a lot of moves that you have to make. And if you're trying to make moves, significant moves, that's going to make your team better. And also, you know, try to win the World Series, sacrifices have to be made.
Of course.
You have to make sacrifices. And I don't think, given the circumstances, that if you asked Lizardo to go to the bullpen for a little bit, he would do it. Wasn't the year that they went to the World Series, didn't Brett Myers, wasn't he asked to pitch in a different position?
Yeah, Brett Myers went from being a starter to a relief pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then back and forth. Yeah, but he did.
It's one of those things where you have to be smart. You're in a position where you got to think outside the box. And you don't have a whole lot of key pieces that you can use to trade for anybody. So it makes sense that you might have to move some guys around.
Right. And you have, look, in a in a more perfect world, you could say, well, Aaron Nola's struggling as a starter. Make him a reliever. Well, none of us really think his stuff would play up out of the bullpen. Lizardo's stuff, I mean, Lizardo just struck out 13 batters the other night as a starter. If he was ever asked to just get an inning or four outs or six outs, whatever, he would probably dominate out of the bullpen. I think it's a good idea by Ruben. Now, it would have to come with them getting a legitimate starter to become the number three over him. Now, we'll see what they do. But if they landed a Sandy or a Scooble, obviously Scooble's the biggest one, then yeah, it'd be an awesome idea. So I sign off on that by Ruben tomorrow. Now, here's another outside-the-box trade idea or trade deadline idea. I don't even know where this came from. I can't tell, as I heard this, Hugh, if this was more just like stream of conscious by John Heyman or had he heard something and he just was kind of relaying it in a very casual way. So Junior Caminero, who has been one of the best young players in baseball, he's 22 years old. Hugh, last year he hit 45 home runs. This year already has 19. He's trending towards back-to-back 40 home run seasons as a third baseman at 22 years old. He is a tremendous young offensive player on the Tampa Bay Rays. I doubt they would even consider it, but John Heyman yesterday, talking about the Phillies getting a right-handed bat. Listen to this.
Again, I've linked, at least speculatively, Chapman to the Phillies. The Phillies need a right-handed bat. Interesting about the Phillies, where they find that right-handed bat. I mean, I love Contreras for the Phillies. They need a big hitter, really. I mean, Chapman's a good defender, and so you can move Bohm to first base. You can move Harper to the outfield. That works. I mean, I think pie in the sky, million a one shot, Junior Caminero would really help the Phillies. Are the Rays in a sell mode? I don't see that. They have a new owner. They're clearly not only in contention, they're in playoff position. But, you know, I mean, might as well make the call. I don't see that happening. But that would be the guy that would fit them best, I think. A big right-handed bat.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course it would. He's a 22-year-old third baseman who hits 40 home runs a year.
John Thundercat.
I don't understand that at all.
I don't know.
The Rays are good this year.
They are good.
I mean, they're number one wild card team. They're like 7.5 games up in that wild card spot. Like, they're not even a team that I think would consider selling.
He's also under team control until 2030.
And he's, yeah.
If the Phillies called, the Rays would be in their rights to say, all right, well, we want Gage Wood, Andrew Painter, Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford, everything you have.
Well,
Yeah, it happens.
Friday.
Yeah,
it's about that time, though, man. It's that time.
Is that what you do every week now?
No, I'm just saying it's that time.
Yeah, I got you.
But, like, I mean, even less so because the Cubs are maybe, like, in between. But this is, like, him throwing out, like, maybe they call about Pete Crow Armstrong. Yeah. Like, I don't understand it
whatsoever.
Are you saying
he's just throwing stuff out there?
Well, that's, like, that's a huge name. And, like Joe said, young. He's probably one of their best players. He's under team control. And the Rays are good. Even if Brandon Marsh, I don't know, it would be like somebody saying maybe the Phillies will sell Brandon Marsh, but like Brent Marsh without all the years of control. I don't know. I'm just like, I find it really strange that that's the name he came up with.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of is maybe he's heard that they've broached him with a contract extension and he said no, because that's how Soto got moved, right? Because the Nationals, I think the Nationals offered Soto $400 million and he said no. And that's when the ball started rolling like, oh crap, we have to trade him. He's not going to stay here. And then that's how he got to the Padres, then the Yankees, and you know we know where his career is now in the Mets. So maybe there's something we don't know that the Rays have tried to re-sign him, and he said, I'm going to free agency in 3 years, and they're going to get ahead of it. If Junior Caminero is available, though, every team in baseball will bid on him. He's that good of a player. He's probably going to be here in the Home Run Derby in a couple of weeks. But that one, I was like, what? Whoa, Phillies? Junior Caminero? It's a huge name. I'd offer everything for him. He's incredible. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Shoop in Minersville. What's up, Shoop?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Hey,
good, Shoop. What's up?
All right, so before I get in on these Phillies today and, you know, give my thoughts on those, you know, those guys, because, man, what a past 3 days that we've had here. Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
So, I had a great weekend last weekend, and no, it had nothing to do with the great Hugh Douglas crash out of 2026 that happened in this very segment, so please be careful.
You know, I can't wait till 2027, by the way, because we had the great midday flood of 2025, right, and now the great Hugh Douglas crash out of 26. What's 27?
Trending the wrong way.
Yes.
There won't be a midday show in 28. Yeah.
Natural disaster once per year on this show. Go ahead, Shoop.
Yeah, can't wait to see where that goes. But, Hugh, I went to Buc-ee's for the first time on Saturday.
How was it? Which one did you go to? One down south?
So I went to the one in Virginia.
Okay, yeah.
It's the closest one here.
Yes.
And let me just say, anyone that tells me that Buc-ee's is overrated, I don't trust them. I will never trust a word that they say, because that place was amazing. The brisket, incredible. The jerky, just you've talked up and you've been in everyone's ear about Buc-ee's now for, I think, since the show started, and
yeah.
Rightfully so. Now
yeah.
that I got to experience it, man, I loved it.
I tell you what, man, but every time I go in there, I'm overwhelmed at so much stuff. Especially, it all depends on what time of the day that you go. Because I usually get there like early in the morning, so it's not that bad. But the other time, when I went this last time, I got there about 11 o'clock, and it was packed, and it was a little overwhelming.
11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was a little overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, I got there, it was probably 1:30 a.m., and there's a dude in a 10-gallon hat and a giant belt buckle slicing brisket in the middle of the store.
Yeah,
it's like what
place.
Is this place?
Yeah,
it's amazing.
A different place.
I loved it. I loved it.
The merch,
but anyway,
all the merch
on to the Phillies,
stuff, yeah,
guys.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, awesome stuff, yeah. On to the Phillies, though. It's an interesting conversation. Are they good or are they great? There are things that they do right now that, to me, doesn't really pass the smell test of a great team. Like, I think as far as run differential goes, they're just in the plus. The bullpen obviously is a little bit shaky, but then what they've pulled the past 3 days, that's what great teams do, right? I mean, it's nearly impossible what they've done 3 days in a row, and I don't know. I feel like it'd be doing them a disservice to not say that they're a great team. I mean, to have those comebacks the way that they did. I mean, how many runs was it in the ninth inning the past three games? Like, I think it was 14 or 15.
I think it was 13, and then Hill hit the home run last night and went to, I think it was 15 runs over the last three ninth innings.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, they don't quit. They call them the Fightins, and it's not just a nickname. Like, they're going to give you their all until the end, and just to watch that come to fruition, it's been awesome.
It has. And you're right, Shoop, the run differential, they just went into the positive last night. And usually that's a pretty good barometer. You know, there's a few teams in baseball, probably Dodgers, maybe Yankees, Brewers, that are around like plus 100. And the Phillies just got to positive.
Yeah.
But the other thing, like, so that's like one layer of looking under the hood. But the other layer even under that is, you know, I wonder if you take away the Painter and Taiwan starts, their run differential's probably around plus 50, or you know what I mean? Like, because they were so bad in those starts that it's like when they have anyone with a pulse pitching.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
They're pretty good. I mean, and then you get to the playoffs, obviously you're not going to have a fifth starter. So, like, their top four, even if you include Nola, it's pretty good. It's probably among, you know, the four or five best teams in baseball.
Yeah, and when you get off to the bad start that they did,
right.
I mean, I guess that's to be expected. But here's another layer to these wins the past three games, guys, that you know, not a whole lot of people are talking about. I mean, if the Nats have a somewhat competent bullpen, they sweep us.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that does for their psyche? Now, what they did these past three games, blowing these past three games, not only are they, I think, four or five games back of us now in the standings, the Marlins have jumped them in the standings. So they got to be looking at this saying, man, we had a golden opportunity here they could have been the one breathing down the Braves' neck like we are right now for the division. They got to be looking at that and, like, I mean, just demoralized by that. Like, they had a golden opportunity, and they quit the bed. It was all out there in front of them, and they blew it.
Yeah, it's a good point. It really is. All right, Shoop, you ready for a matchup in the top 80 from Herb in the Northeast?
Yes, sir. Let's
all
do
right,
it.
Here we go. So Hugh Douglas came in at number 66. Better Eagle in this century, because that was the basis of Herb's list. Number 66 was Hugh Douglas. And at number 27, Nick Foles. Hugh versus Nick Foles.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. You had to give me this one with Hugh Douglas.
I did.
Listening to me now. Hugh, I'm so sorry. And I know you don't take anything from it. Hugh, you're a legend. Nick Foles wins. I'm sorry. He just wins. He's got the statue. You know, he's got the Philly special.
He got a ring.
I love Nick Foles. That's a tough spot. He's got a ring.
That's it.
That's a tough spot for you, Hugh. But yeah, I take Nick Foles.
It's not a tough spot for me. I was a better player than Nick Foles, but Nick Foles won a Super Bowl.
Well,
so that's the over that's the you know, that's the end all to be all.
Shoop, good phone call.
Ring is king.
Yeah, ring is king.
This one is the most obvious. The only reason to vote for Nick is
the ring. Because he won a ring, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you were a better football player than Nick
was.
Hands down. Yeah.
But the reality is this, because I remember, you know, because I was in Atlanta, and I remember when they beat the Falcons here, and everybody was a little nervous because they barely beat the Falcons. That game was like a kick away from being a Falcons victory, you know, and he just went on a run. Can't compete with that. No question about it. But if you just talk about just overall tally, no, Nick ain't holding the
camera. You know what is really interesting about Nick Foles? There's almost a what if about Nick Foles if he had gotten to play more with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And I sometimes think the way we talk about him, it's not just because they won the Super Bowl. We also only watched him play well in this uniform. When he has a 93.2 passer rating as an Eagle, that's really good. That might be the best in Eagles history. Jalen's passer rating might be around 93. Maybe it's 94. I mean, they're probably similar.
Mm-hmm.
But like Nick Foles has a higher passer rating than Carson Wentz, I would think, than Donovan McNabb. But he didn't play much. You know what I mean? Like he was a backup. He got hurt. He had one season where he was actually the starter the most of the full time. Right? It's just so weird. Because when he played in an Eagles uniform, he played great. But he left here, he stunk. He was in and out of the lineup. It's like I always understood why people say, "Wow, he was so good." Because when playing, he did play well.
Oh no, and you know what? I get it. And again, you don't have to apologize to me if you don't pick me. It's not like I'm gonna go home.
Well, that's why it's funny because we're putting people on the spot, like, and you're sitting right here.
I'm like, I'm gonna go home and cry in my pillow and be like, "Oh, they didn't pick me."
Are you sure?
Oh, of course. But I get it. I mean, because, hell, I would pick Nick Foles. If you're asking me, you got to pick Nick. Because Nick won the ultimate – he won the coveted prize. He found the grail. He won it. And we had a parade. That was the first parade I came to.
Mm.
You know, we had our opportunities. We didn't get it done. So, no, I don't feel any kind of way about that.
Top five Eagles quarterbacks ever in passer rating. Now, I'm going to exclude guys that played like three games, right? That doesn't count. Jalen Hurts is number one at 94.4 for a career passer rating. Nick Foles, 93.2. He's at number two. Carson is third. Vic is fourth. Donovan fifth. Highest passer rating.
And you're talking about some cats that weren't here that long. Like, as long as Donovan.
Right.
That's pretty, yeah.
Well, the longer you play, I think it's harder to hold.
But I get that. But it's just like, wow, you know, interesting. The list. When you list how it plays out, you're just kind of like, oh, interesting.
Also, it is heavily favored towards the current game. Like, the current pass ratings are just way higher than they used to be. I mean, it's a different sport now and rules. It's just easier to have a 90-plus pass rating now than it was in the 80s, 90s. It was harder then. Tal's in Philly. What's up, Tal?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How
Tal,
you doing today?
Good morning, man. What's up?
Hey, I want to talk about that game last night because I was there on the third baseline.
You were in DC last night? You were there?
I live here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
so, all right.
I got stationed here while I was in the military in 99, and I decided to stay, but I'm a Philly guy. So I've been doing this to this fan base since 1999, and last night was just brilliant. It was great to be a part of history because every time the Phillies come down here, I'm always there. And last night was no exception. You know, their fan base was obviously yelling a lot of obscenities to Bryce Harper. And I'm sure, you know, everybody heard it. But I want to give a shout out to the group of Eagles fans that sat up under Charlie Slows. Because for some reason last night, I decided to listen to their broadcast. And the chants, there were Eagles chants going on. There was all kind of Schwarber chants going on and Harper's chants right under Charlie Slows, who basically epitomizes this fan base. This is one of those fan bases. First of all, they're nothing like Philly. It changes over every 4 or 5 years down here. So being that this stadium down here is pretty much full of Eagles fans, I mean, and Phillies fans, every time one of our teams play down here, it was just great part of being part of history last
year. I could feel it. Just there was energy, Tal, just watching on TV the last few games, the last four games. There was an energy, like the back and forth, the Philly fans that down there, you obviously a Philly fan, but you know, living down there, and the Nats fans. There was an energy, and man, you got to be part of a fun one last night. Just the fact they did it again in the ninth inning is just incredible.
Absolutely. And real quick, can I go ahead and tell Hugh, you know, I'm going to go ahead and put this one game out there. December 31st, 2000, Veterans Stadium. I was there playing Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was 32 degrees. This was Hugh's game. We had four sacks. And you can ask Sean King, because when I'm telling you, when Hugh put his ass into the ground, I was there watching. When Hugh put him into the ground, that game was over.
Sean, Tal,
they knew it.
Tal, do you want to hear it? We have the call. You want to hear it?
What? Let's hear it. Baby,
let's hear it.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, well, you could hear it right now.
King drops the throw. And it's hit just as he let the ball go, or did he let it go? This might be the Eagles' ball. I think it is.
I'll tell you, Hugh Douglas came from that backside and really unloaded on Sean King.
That's right.
Tal, I got to tell you, now that I know you were there, that
it was a beautiful thing.
The pop, of that crowd when Hugh unloaded on Sean King, it doesn't sound like the Vet anymore. It's like those old stadiums, the acoustics in there were just different.
See, this is what I try to tell the young buck around today. You guys got to understand how electric it was then when we had that kind of defense, man, and he was coming off the edge. And you know, so you got a lot of these young guys voting on this and saying, Hugh, this. Listen. When you watched him play, just, you know, the Chicago playoff game, you know, these are the sacks that changed the momentum of the game. So these were like game-wrecking plays.
Right. Not pressure, sacks that changed the game.
Sacks.
Back where men were men. Pass rushers got sacks.
Well, the quarterback wasn't the same after the sack.
And right.
So the game was technically, you know, the same thing happened, you know, in our NFC Championship game a few years ago.
Well, you're right about that. Well, when Reddick knocked out Purdy, you're right. I mean, those are game. That's why you want to put a hit on the quarterback. It changes the game. All right, Tal, you ready? Hugh, I'm going to give you a matchup in the top 80 athletes since 2000 via Herb from the Northeast. Hugh Douglas came in at number 66. You ready for your matchup?
Let's do it.
All right. Who was the better player since 2000? Hugh Douglas at number 66 or... I'm trying to give you a tough one because you're obviously a big fan here. All right. Number 44, Brandon Graham, Hugh or BG?
Oh, you just had to give me that one.
I did.
All right, BG, you know, I love you. You know, I gave Hugh a box of presidential M&Ms at a draft party back in, I think it was 2003. So, because he was running around talking about how much he liked candy, so I bought him some candy.
That sounds like
you.
But
I got to give it to Brandon Graham.
It's a filibuster.
Brandon Graham,
the vote. Okay. All right.
Wait a minute, hold up. Brandon Graham, a Hall of Famer? In what league are we talking about? Brandon Graham's a Hall of Famer.
He's going here.
Brandon Graham went to the Hall of Fame.
You
know what? Thank you for the kind words. Brandon Graham ain't going to the Hall of Fame.
Tal, we love you. That's a good phone call by Tal.
Brandon Graham ain't going to the Hall of Fame.
I think you're right. He's not going to the Hall of Fame.
No, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Like, Eagles Hall of Fame.
He can go to the Hall of Fame of longevity.
And the Eagles Hall of Fame.
He'll definitely be in the Eagles Hall of Fame. And no disrespect to Brandon Graham.
Not the WIP Hall of Fame, though.
No disrespect to Brandon Graham, but no. He's one of the better players than me.
We found the first one that got you a little fired up. Matt Stairs, he was like,
Madden 52.
Whatever.
Madden 52.
He was
I'm just saying, listen, and y'all know how I feel about Brandon Graham.
Yes.
Brandon Graham went better than me. Brandon Graham had a better moment than I had as a player.
And longevity.
Yeah, and longevity. But, man, come on.
He might also go into the WIP Hall of Fame for the Hurts AJ thing.
Yeah, he might
on
do
the
that.
Brandon
you know
show.
What? I think he belongs in.
He's gonna share Hall of Fames with Hugh.
I know.
They're connected forever. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Every 20 years, we get an aging defensive end causing a whole thing between the quarterback and the receiver.
But when we start talking about that guy that put in work at that, come on, dog.
Uh-oh.
Stop it.
All right, 215-592. 11:50. It's the best time.
Fire
you up.
I'll let y'all have y'all moment.
215.
If I do that.
592-94. 11:50. Back to your corners. All right, coming up, all your phone calls. And Scott Fransky joins us on a Fransky Friday. Boy, Scott had a week down in D.C. What an incredible slew of calls by Scott on the broadcast. We'll talk to Scott about the Phillies, this series this weekend against the Mets. All your phone calls as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality.
Yankees. Let's fly.